The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
National headlines and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
All right, good Friday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And if you're watching us on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, you can see my Valentine, who has joined us this morning. Tim Bearden is the District 30 State Senator, and Steve Graddick was supposed to host this program this morning, so I'm not prepared. He called in sick at the last second, and I don't have the energy this morning. I figured I didn't have to, study, didn't have to sleep or anything like that, so I'm a little knackered, but I'm pretty much going to hand over the show to you. Hey, Tim, what do you think about this? And then we'll go that way.
Hey, that sounds good. Appreciate the Valentine's wishes there.
Absolutely.
The Cubs sweatshirt.
Thank you. Steve did put together like a whole packet of stuff. He did put together a nice little bio, probably stole it off your website. Not the Senate website, but I will read it.
Okay.
Tim Bearden has been a resident of West Georgia since moving to Harrelson County in 1975. Graduated from Bremen High School, started a career in law enforcement with the Vicarilla Police Department, rose to the rank of sergeant with the motorcycle division for the Douglasville Police Department, now lives in Carrollton with his wife of 28 years, Triska. They have two adult children. He was elected to the state senate last year, District 30.
We're going to have to update. We're going on 30 years now.
Congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
Are you doing something nice for Triska today?
Well, I can't say it because you may be listening.
Oh, that's right.
They've overrun the surprise, but I always do something nice for Triska every day.
That's very sweet. I don't know what to say now. I'm all choked up. All right, Tim Bearden. Let's start out with, how's the session going? Were we 3 weeks into it? Three and a half weeks?
No, about 4 weeks in. It's the snow that we had a few weeks ago really kind of threw things behind. The start of a new biennium, that first year of the new session, you got two sessions to make the term. That first week is usually committee assignments, office space being given out because you got new people coming in. So we had the first week, second week also as the appropriations week. It coincides with MLK's birthday. But we had the snow that hit. So everything kind of got thrown back. Honestly, we just got into our office over at the Legislative Office Building about a week and a half ago. So it's a lot of bills are being presented. Committees kind of got a late start because committee assignments got handed out. So try and get the organization of the committees together, those first organization meetings going. So we're a little bit behind, to be honest with you. I have a feeling it's going to be a mad dash as we go towards the end. There's probably going to be a lot of bills that won't get heard this year. Okay. But again, it's a two-year term. If a bill doesn't get through this year, it always has next year. And then if it don't make it through next year, then the bill completely dies.
Here, I was going to ask you, do you see like less bills being approved and then, or you guys having to work harder to get them?
Actually, I wish we would see less bills getting through.
Sure, yeah.
The state's been around for well over 200 years, so you think it was really important to have been done by now. So, I think you're going to see less bills, but I think you're going to see a big dash going up towards the end of this session.
Let us start with immigration. Yes, we can. And these are things that I just printed out this morning. Georgia Senate did pass a bill that would allow local government employees and officials in so-called sanctuary cities to be held civilly liable for crimes committed by immigrants without permanent legal status. I guess you can talk a little bit more about that, but is that like to encourage sanctuary cities not to be sanctuary cities?
Yeah, basically what it's saying is Georgia has immigration laws on its book. Follow the law, no problems. If you don't follow the law, you can lose your sovereign immunity, so which allows you to be open up to a civil suit. So but basically, real simple to me, if city, county, whatever, follow the immigration laws.
And this one was interesting. It's a House bill, so I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it's called the Georgia Guest Worker Act.
I have not seen that bill yet. We're working strictly on Senate bills right now until crossover day. Then we'll be getting all the House bills sent over to us for debate.
All right. Well, I'm going in order here. Then I put them down. This one is, I believe, in the Senate. Georgia Republicans want state sales tax, a tax holiday on guns and ammo.
Well, we actually, that was on the floor just the other day in the Senate. Simple bill.
Did you bring this one up?
No, I did not. That was Jason Navatarte from Paulding County.
Up the road.
Did co-sign the bill.
This will be 11 days.
11 days. should have been a very simple bill. It was distorted heavily on the floor of the Senate. As we was talking a little bit earlier, we did have a Senate Democrat from Atlanta that kind of called me out specifically about a bill in 2008. So I was compelled to go to the floor and speak on the bill. This bill went from a simple, it can be guns and ammo. It could be a gun safe. It could be a scope. It could be anything that deals with really a sport that brings billions of dollars into our state every year. So supportive of the bill. You know, one of the things I stated from the floor of the Senate was maybe a parent would like to buy their child a 410 shotgun. That's usually one of the shotguns you see a lot that kids are bought. I'd much rather see mom, dad, son, daughter together in the woods, learning about the environment and the natural resources we have in our great state, than seeing kids walk around with cell phones in their hand. I mean, let's get them back into nature and outside.
Tim Bearden is the District 30 State Senator for the state of Georgia. Tim Bearden, R. of Carrollton. Right. So what it is. Tort reform has been a big topic. Every time I've seen an article, it's referencing tort reform. This has been actually, I've heard Kemp talk about this maybe 2, 3, 4 years in one form or another. How are legislators approaching this, and how are they going to address that?
Well, since we've been elected for...
And what's the major issue, too, I guess, first?
A lot of major issues to it. But when you talk about tort reform, since I've been elected for the last year, I've been approached many times. How are you going to vote on tort reform? Governor Kemp spoke at the Eggs and Issues breakfast. This is going to be my main priority is tort reform. And I'll get calls. How are you going to vote?
From constituents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, my response is, I don't know because I've not seen the language of the bill. And I'm not going to say I'm going to vote one way or the other way without seeing the language and reading it. Felt like that's a pretty fair compromise considering the people elect me to represent them. So last Thursday, finally got the language. So we spent the weekend, locked myself in my office at the house on Friday, went over this line by line, watched about nearly 6 hours of debate on Monday. The Senate Committee on Judiciary brought the bill out. There's two bills, Senate Bill 68, Senate Bill 69. 68 is probably the more controversial of the two.
68, okay.
So hopefully those two bills will be coming to the Senate floor sometime next week. In their current form, I have no issue with them because say tort reform, what you're also talking about is something that's protected by the Constitution under the Seventh Amendment, access to a trial by jury. So you got to be very careful when you start looking at these things. It's not like a bill we did last year, school choice light. You know, yes, you can do it. You don't got to worry about running afoul or nothing. But under the Seventh Amendment protections of the right by a trial by jury, there's something that you got to be careful on. So it's broad, it's sweeping. I know the hopes are to try to bring insurance rates down. We have looked at Florida and other states very closely. We have not seen that yet. So maybe what you will see is a stabilization of insurance. Heard John King, our insurance commissioner, speak during the debate. He said that looked like it will probably see about a 3% reduction in insurance rates in Florida. But, you know, we understand there's got to be fairness on both sides. But I think everyone believes that this has gotten out of whack. So, you know, if you talk about what's in the bill, it's everything from economic, non-economic damages, how one would answer a lawsuit to discovery. I actually got some notes here.
It puts a cap on pain and suffering.
Okay, that's the thing. There's no caps in this bill.
Well, Senate Bill 8 says includes a cap on pain and suffering.
Not in Senate Bill 68. There's not caps.
I took it right so, off the legislative website.
For but Senate you know, Bill 68. I'm just going straight through the bill with Section 1 to what it deals with, and voluntary dismissal rules, double recovery of attorney fees, a seatbelt rule that is interesting because what we're saying in this bill that if you're not wearing a seatbelt, that can be used in the courts on that end. And then you have premise liability, which is a big one to help protect small businesses, something that's called phantom damages, and then the bifurcation of the court. So in the first part of the trial, you will see liability, who has liability in the court case, how much liability that person has, and in the second part, then you get into the damage part of the court case. So it's pretty long bill. It's very complex. I'm not an attorney. If I was sitting in the judiciary committee, I would have to throw a dollar in the cup because I said I'm not an attorney. Mm-hmm. So watching these debates closely, listen to those discussions, listen to my constituents here in the district. As I said, right now, the way this bill is currently drafted, I don't have a problem supporting these two pieces of legislation. But when they leave the Senate, they go to the House, and then we'll have to see closely what will happen in the House. Probably Judiciary Civil Committee. They got three different judicial committees in the House. We have one in the Senate. Then see how that bill is changed, what they vote on, what happens when it comes back to the Senate. Is it to the point we can agree with the House changes? Do we not agree with the House changes and stay firm? And that goes into the conference committee, which then you will have three senators, three House members taking this bill, working on it, and then you'll have a conference committee report that will probably come out somewhere between day 38 and day 40 for the final bill to see how it looks. This is just phase one of this process because we started it in the Senate.
Is compensation right now, is that determined just by the judge? Did the judges say, you know what, I think you're owed this?
Juries. Or,
juries, okay. But, so they just, I mean, is there something that they follow, like, you know, $5,000 for a broken finger, $10,000 for a skimmed elbow? I mean, is there something that they have to follow, or they just say, you know what, I think you need $2 billion for this?
Again, every case is going to be different. And the complexity of each case is going to be different, how they come up with it. Let's take a coffee case from years ago.
You're spilling hot coffee.
Hot coffee. Why did someone get $2 million for spilling hot coffee in their laps? When you look back at that case, and then you look at all the complaints that built up to that case, I want to say, and I'm trying to recall correctly, so if I'm wrong.
I mean, it's early 90s, right?
Don't sue me.
It's early 90s, that's what happened.
But there was like hundreds upon hundreds of complaints against this particular location for the coffee beans too hot, scalding hot. The elderly lady did spill the coffee in her lap, and it was third-degree burns in that area of her body. So there was a lot of things taken into consideration in this case that led to that verdict. Again, that verdict was done by a jury, and there's the ones that gave that verdict. So every case is complex. Mm-hmm. And again, never try to pretend to be a lawyer. Not a lawyer. We got great lawyers here in the county, in the city. We probably could bring one in and talk to them about it on this one as well. But the complexities of it. But there has to be some type of fairness. We understand. We have businesses that can't afford insurance. We have companies in the trucking industry that can't afford insurance. We have insurance companies leaving the state. So we have got to have a balance. The scales have got to be balanced on here to make sure that Georgia remains the number one state to do business in. And we also got to make sure things that we pass in the legislature is constitutional as well. As I said, I feel so far that this bill strikes a pretty good balance. And you know, if it comes to the floor on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, expect to vote for both bills.
All right, we did give the tort reform a good discussion of our 30 minutes here, so probably gave it the most, but we'll try and get a couple other issues out here in our program. The next 15 minutes, we'll take our first break. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice News Talk 1330, FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning is District 30 State Senator Tim Bearden. We are on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. So questions and comments you can post there. I already like this one from B. B. Shell says, fantastic. Tim, could you please have your staff answer the phone? Thank you, B, for checking us out this morning. Oh, hey, this maybe you've heard this one because it's getting a little bit of attention, but it's a House bill right now. But you may have seen it where they're talking about getting, and you may have had this discussion anyway, where they're talking about getting rid of the speed zone cameras outside schools.
Well, there's a Senate bill as well that not really. There are some multiple bills on this subject. Is it getting rid of the speed zones cameras? Is it how is the money
Dibbied up,
you know, where should the money go?
Because the schools don't get it, right, at this point?
I think it goes
to the city
and the counties.
Yeah.
I think you're seeing a push for that money to go to school safety. School safety has been a big issue over the last several years. So some people are wanting to get rid of school zone cameras. Being former law enforcement, there's not enough police officers to go around to put in every single school zone during that time. We got schools all over the place. But the cameras, do they work? Yes. Do we need to make sure they're operating at specific times when kids are actually going to school or getting out of school? Those things should not be running 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They should not be running 12 hours a day. They need to be very specific. You need to make sure there's warning lights flashing. If they're not flashing, then you should not get a ticket.
So you don't like them, like, you know, you want them at that peak time in the morning, peak time in the afternoon, but you don't think they should run during the day for the normal speed limit?
Absolutely not. Number one, for the roads they run on, the school don't own the roads. Yeah. So, you know, but we understand that there are particular times in the day, usually anywhere from an hour before, 30 minutes before school, 30 minutes or so after school starts, same thing when the school kids are getting out. But those flashing lights need to be flashing, letting people know that there's a speed zone ahead for the school zones. And this should be in a specific time, and this should not be made, let's be honest, this shouldn't be a moneymaker for cities or counties. It shouldn't be a revenue generator.
So there's a possibility they won't be removed, but they'll just be changed and the rules will be and maybe better monitored. And I think one of the concerns is like the camera person who put together the camera, the group that put together the camera might be, you know, taking a little bit extra money they don't need to, or maybe, you know, sending tickets out to collect more money.
That's why I say there's got to be more control on these. Again, you need, if they're going to stay, it needs to be a specific time frame. The flashing lights need to be working. On holidays and summer, no, they don't need to be operating. So, yes, we need to make sure that those school zones are safe for our kids. But also, we don't need to be putting equipment out there to generate revenue either. So we need to make sure that if we're going to have them, and they show to be effective, there are studies out there to show they're effective on slowing people down. But let's make sure everything's working properly and they're being done in the proper way.
I did put together, again, a bunch of stuff here. I mean, I don't know if I should, you know, I feel like I do want to do different things and you read, hear about in the news elsewhere. But, I mean, I guess.
If you want to sit back and I'll just go with it, I can free flow it.
Well, let me get this. I'll do it. Yeah, the last 10 minutes, you go ahead and tell me what you think we care about. That's going on right now, because we'll have you on a couple more times before the session's over. I'll have you on newscast, so we'll get to all that. My understanding is that the president is considering removing the tax credit, or maybe already did that. It's about $7,500 for electronic vehicles. The dealer typically handles that. They've also rescinded grants for charging stations. Now, Georgia has a lot of the EV, the electronic vehicle developers, producers. We have several of those in the state. Yeah. Bring a lot of money in. The chargers, rescinding that grant for the car chargers too. I mean, how's that going to affect Georgia?
Well, you just brought that one out of left field on me on some of the president's stuff. We'll have to wait and see. I think a whole lot of stuff is being looked at from the federal government on wasteful spending. Where is money going? What's money is being used for? We saw a lot on USAID being spent for some really interesting things out there. So the man's been president for 3 weeks. Let's give this a chance for maybe 4 weeks now.
I just assumed it was a year.
It's 13th, so yeah, about 3 weeks. He made a lot of campaign promises. He's keeping them. We have seen immigration at the border reduced by 90% in 3 weeks, which is huge. I 100% supported President Trump, and I support what he's doing right now. But we get people going to the floor of the Senate every day at the State House talking about President Trump, what he's done in the last day, and how we're in a constitutional crisis. Now, at some point, we got to run this country like a business. He is looking at every single aspect. People complain about Elon Musk. Well, we didn't vote for Elon Musk. We didn't vote for a lot of people. We didn't vote for Fauci. But he's brought someone in who's probably one of the smartest people that's walking the planet. The man does build spaceships going in up into space and trying to get to Mars one day. So, but taking deep dives at looking at how taxpayer dollars are being spent and are those tax dollars being spent wisely for $36 trillion in debt. I think my answer would be no. Tax dollars have not been being spent wisely for many decades in this country. So let's take a look at it. Let's take a close look at it. Let's make sure our dollars are being spent where they need to. Let's make sure Medicare and Social Security is solvent. And if we're saving billions of dollars going somewhere else or spending them to a rapper in Gaza or sending money to countries that don't like us, well, let's make sure that money stays where it belongs. That's to the American citizens. So I'm going to give the man the benefit of it out for a while.
Time right now is 8:52. My guest is District 30 State Senator Tim Bearden. We'll come back with about 6 minutes. There is one that I want to point out. We'll do that after the break. And then I'll give you 3 minutes to say whatever you want to say, Tim. All right, Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise. representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
All right, welcome back to Community Voice Program, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. We've got about 5 minutes left in this program this morning. I'm just going to scoot back and let Tim take it over. I was going to ask, but there's this one bill. I want people to pay attention to it, SB 74. I don't know if that's going to – I'm interested in getting people's opinions on that one. So check that one out, SB 74. But for the next 6 minutes, Tim Beard, it's you. Tell us what we should know.
Well, one of the things we do want to start off with is Senate Bill 1. This is bringing fairness to – girl sports. What does that mean? In Georgia, we're taking the approach, we passed this bill last year in the Senate. For some reason, it did not make it through on sine die in the House, so we started a new bill this year with Senate Bill 1. Basically, biological boys got to play boys sports. Biological girls will play girl sports. Does this not prohibit co-ed sports? But what it does mean is that our daughters are going to make sure that when they're playing sports, it's going to be a fair playing field. So we had a lot of testimony. Some of these were from college swimmers that came in and testified. Of course, that big conversation was built around Leah Thomas and how that individual biological male won the NCAA swimming championships. One girl was talking about how she finished in 17th place, top 16, or it's All-American status. She was still in that ability to become an All-American. Have a daughter that played competitive sports, gymnasts. There's a lot of girls out there playing. We do not want them to lose any opportunity to go to that next level or to receive the awards that they deserve on the playing field. So this is just making that fair. We're also in this bill making sure that girls have dressing rooms for girls, that they shouldn't have the fear of a biological boy walking in and changing in the same areas that they do. So this is a common sense bill to me. I'm kind of shocked that we're even having to have this discussion, but we are. And sadly, it went down pretty much on a party line vote. So, but we're going to do everything we can to make sure that our girls are protected because, as we talked about in the committee, you get a volleyball player, a boy can, or a male can spike a ball at much greater speed than a female. A female is being trained to dig and sets and things like that at a certain speed than someone hits a ball 20 miles an hour faster. And we had a young lady that got hit so hard in the face that she ended up with a brain damage on the brain bleed. So we got to make sure that our sports are safe and fair. And then also a couple of bills that we got coming up that I'm working on. We got a committee meeting coming up next week on DNA sampling. What this bill would do, if you are in custody, which means you violated the law, and you are an illegal alien, and the trigger is ICE has an immigration detainer on you, no matter if the charge is a misdemeanor or a felony, we should be able to get a DNA sample to put in the database to make sure there was no other crimes committed, especially a crime like a murder, rape, child molestation, before that individual is deported out of the country.
Now, ICE has 48 hours to do that?
It's 48 or 72. I think it's 48, though. Okay. So, but once they put that detainer on the person that's already in custody and they're illegal, then we should get DNA to make sure there's been no other crimes committed in this country, because we want to make sure that justice is served for those individuals and those crime victim families have closure. And if they don't know who committed a crime, this may be a way. I assure you we'll solve crimes if we do this and hopefully bring some of that justice to those families. Another thing that we did just recently, got out of committee just yesterday, was putting the fourth court or superior court judge in Douglas County. So that will be coming to the floor hopefully next week, be sent over to the House for Kimberly New to carry that in the House. And then we also did a bill that got out of committee yesterday as well, more of a consumer protection for small business, we're saying small business, 200 employees or less, deals with automatic renewals. So if you ever had a, these are for 12 months, 24 months and longer. So under consumer protection, if I own a business, I have ABC trash pickup and I signed a 3-year contract and it's got an automatic renewal on there. Before that automatic renewal takes place, they will need to send you a notice saying that renewal is about to occur. And that way it gives you a chance to look for a better price for your business or someone that does better service.
All right, Tim Bearden, District 30 State Senator. Thank you for coming out this morning and taking over the show. Saved me. I mean, you know, and we hope Steve Graddick gets better soon.
Hey, yes, we do.
You have contact information? No, B said nobody's answering your phone, so you want to make sure she has the right number?
I don't have that number because we just changed offices. Right. But anyway, hey, if you go to the website, it's there. I need to make sure that's all up. I said we just changed offices. I don't know what that new office number
is. And I bet
is.
You if you said hi to Jay Collins right now, he'd
well, Jay Collins is always up and listening. So, but yeah, we'll get everything taken care of.
Again, thanks, Tim. We look forward to having you on again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for watching and listening to this morning's Community Voice here on Newstalk 1330 FM 106.3. It's Friday, so have a great weekend, everybody.
And happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.